pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, J.C. Carter.
Hey, welcome to the resistance.
Indeed. Tiffany was going to join us. She even had her deep dive all done. And then her brain decided she needed to have seizures all afternoon instead. So she's tucked in bed and she's got the WNBA on. And I'll check on her every 20 minutes. So, but you and I were...
Are her kids giving her a good Mother's Day?
I don't know. If they do, they're doing it via phone.
Yeah, so, probably.
One of the kids actually drove down to deliver a bouquet yesterday. And that was it. Stayed 5 minutes and then took off because it's such a long fucking drive.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, they're all up
I gotta get back home.
They're all up in the Ogden area.
Yep.
So, no, that was nice. Adult kids, you know this. They're fucking busy.
Yeah,
you know
no, they are. They
my
are.
My kids are trying to plan something for Father's Day, and I'm like, "Do you guys have time?" I mean, you know,
I'm like, "You know what? Just bring me some whiskey before Father's Day, and I'm fine."
Yep. There you go.
Yep. Just give me a bottle of whiskey before Father's Day. Although, only one of them could do that. The other one's not 21 yet. So.
Oh yeah, good point. That's a good point. Yeah. If that one brought you whiskey, you'd have to start talking about life choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but we were just talking about people that we miss because we're getting old and our friends are starting to pass away. And I rehomed where email is handled for the network, and made my account a catch-all, which means back in the day, Forrest had an account. An email account, and he did stuff with it, and now I'm getting, especially from Facebook, I'm getting, hey, your friend said this today, and this and that, because we never had permissions, the right access to turn his page into a memorial, so it's still active, and you know, I get those every other day, and they give me the sads.
Oh, that's rough. I mean, you know, I always look for the birthdays.
Yeah.
In my Facebook feed, and I'll go in and I'll see people that I know have passed, and I'm like, you know, I get it. You don't have, you know, there's some sort of weird permission to get a memorial, and they don't want to do it. But just leaving that page active and getting notified that it would have been their birthday is always just heartbreaking.
It stings a little bit. It stings a little bit. And it's, you know, our friends have gone from dying about stupid stuff to dying about natural causes. It's really starting to freak me out. Because we were talking about that on the comic book show tomorrow. Nicholas Brendan, you know, natural causes. I mean, disease causes.
Yeah, he'd been a chronic smoker. He had a heart attack a few years ago. And then he didn't do the Kevin Smith thing and make sure it wasn't going to happen again.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
I already had one. What are the odds of having two?
Pretty good, actually, they would tell you.
Yeah, yeah, it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. It was like, oh, well, you just got fucked on that one, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything new you want to bring up or chat about? You've got a couple days left in Shaolin Nun.
Yeah, as of the day this drops, so Monday the 11th?
Yeah, the 11th.
There will be 8 days left in the Shaolin Nun Kickstarter. We're still short of hitting even the fundraising goal, let alone going over the fundraising goal, which I really need to do. I did a thing yesterday, it was an interview for a podcast, a video, you know, a channel. I don't know. It's on YouTube. It's called Comics for All. That's comics with an X, the number 4, and then all. And you can catch me there on their Ink and Insights feature that they do every week.
Your facial hair looked majestic.
I really enjoyed doing that. I got to talk about the book, got to talk about my process, got to talk about everything that I do. And it was really cool. It was good because, you know, I always like to talk about me. So
that's fair.
Yeah. And when it was over, I'm hoping that starting this week, people will be watching it. We'll start watching it and probably, you know, throw some donations our way.
Yeah, that'd be good.
At this point, if you don't want the comics, but you could do $25, that would help a lot, you know. If you could do anything to help out, that'd be great. Just go to shaolinnun.com/Kickstarter and you'll find the Kickstarter page. Just give us some support.
There you go. We should probably get to some news.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's back. Somehow, before his party finished reckoning with his legacy. We can talk about that a little bit, because I do. I was talking to Tiffany about this the other day, and I love Joe Biden. I love him, but he's got an asterisk by his name now.
That's the problem. I mean, you know, the same thing happened with Clinton and everybody else. It's like, only Obama seems to be the one that people still listen to. So,
he obeyed the Constitution. And didn't run for a third term. I respect that, but I regret it.
I had a happy moment yesterday. I was a little group chat, and a mutual friend of ours said, "Hey, my vet is finally legal." And everybody's like, "What vet?" Well, another friend was like, "What vet?" And he put up a photo of this 79 Corvettes he just bought. And I said, "Hey, you remember when we used to be really mad that all we ever saw were old guys driving Corvettes around?"
Yeah.
He got it.
Ouch.
And then somebody else put up the photo of, it's a gif of Biden in a yellow Corvette. I'm like, oh, I thought his was green. It is green. But he's like lowering his sunglasses and smiling. And I'm like, hey, there's Joe.
There you go. I mean, I've got that painting of him having an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
That's on the wall. I'm never going to stop loving this guy. I'm really not. But asterisks. Mm-hmm. But he popped up in a couple of primaries to lend support to people that used to work for him in his administration. Keisha Lance Bottoms in the Georgia governor's race. And Dan, I don't know, let's go with Coe, who's looking for a House seat in Massachusetts. And then, we've got more endorsements headed toward, what's his name, Becerra? Xavier Becerra, who was Biden's Health and Human Services Secretary. Joe Biden popping up. Stage 4 fucking cancer. And he's like, nah, I'll take a minute. I love seeing pictures of him out in the world. Because, you know, his Secret Service folks, if he's going to a restaurant or a diner or something, you know, they pull up 30 seconds to a minute before to check everything out. So they got lights and sirens and shit going, and people will have their phones out knowing something exciting is about to happen. And then Joe pops in the door. Ta-da! You know? Every time.
Hey, I'm here.
You know, and it's
malarkey.
Like, and then he walks real slow to wherever he's going, but he always pops in the room, and it just, I'm just enamored by him. What a great third grandpa he would have been.
Yeah.
Is basically the way I think about it. But no, you know, I don't know how I feel about Becerra, but I don't vote there, so who the fuck cares?
I mean, most of these are small things. They're not running for big seats, are they? I don't.
Governors.
Maybe one or. Governor, yeah.
Yeah, governor.
But
two governors and a House seat.
Two governors and a House seat. So I don't know. Go and throw your support in, Joe. We'll see how they do. I don't know if your support has the same weight that Trump's support seems to have, because all those guys who are trying to primary out his, all those guys that were opposed to one of his policies got primaried out because of other guys he supported in Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump officials, top economic advisor Ken Haslett. Oh, I hate that fucking guy. Dubiously claimed on Fox Business Wednesday that rising credit card debt is proof that U.S. consumers are really firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
I.
You know who's not firing on all cylinders, buddy?
Yeah, this.
That'd be you. Yeah.
I mean, that's it. When I got canned last year, and then Tiffany was unlawfully fired later in the summer. You know, I mean, it was credit card time, and we are so far past that at this point, you know.
Yeah. Oh, if credit card usage is up, it isn't because everybody's firing on all cylinders. It's because they're out of money and they still need to buy groceries or they still need to pay for things. You know, it's like gas is, he even cited that people are buying gas. It's like, because we don't have a fucking choice. We have to get to work, and most of our regions don't have the public transportation that we need to get us there.
Yeah,
you know, it used to take me an hour to get to work in the mornings when I worked down in Sandy, and then it would take me another hour and 15 minutes to get home because everything was delayed. And it's like, it just it sucks when you're having to travel like that. If you could get there quickly within 30 minutes, it's not so bad. You know, not having a car. But when it takes an hour, you're like, you know, all you have managed to do, UTA, is convince me I need to buy a second fucking car.
Yeah, you there know? You go.
Yeah.
So we have a problem in Utah right now.
Yeah, we do. Oh, sorry.
I mean, you know.
I mean, we've got so many.
Yeah, which one are we going to talk about? I'm talking about the data center project backed by this Kevin O'Leary fucker. We're in the worst drought in recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that geologists will probably back me up on saying it's probably one of the worst droughts we've had in a long, long time.
Yep.
Do
you know that, just to interrupt you, do you know that just a few days ago, Denver got more snow in one day than we've had all year?
Yeah.
Than we've had all winter.
Yeah.
And they were looking at a drought, and then they got a major dump. And I'm like, well, hopefully some of that water trickles down, Denver, because we could use some out here.
Well, my guess is pretending for a minute I'm a believer, is when your chief let's pray for rain guy also
no
happens
shit.
To be, you know, a hypocritical, duplicitous, spineless, orange knob-lobbing piece of shit. Perhaps prayers skip you and hit Denver instead.
Yep.
We're just shooting them in the sky, and much like nuclear waste, they're just blowing to Denver. You know, all your wasted prayers are going to those heathens in Colorado where weed is recreationally legal.
You know, I really don't think I'd have a big problem if we got a data center here, an AI data center. It's just, it's not right to do it now. They're pushing things through. They're giving this guy such a deal, this Shark Tank looking motherfucker. They're giving him such a deal on this that he can't say no, because he's basically stealing the land.
Yep.
He's getting this huge amount of acreage. He's getting this huge amount of support. He's going to use like more water. They're actually having to put in a natural gas power plant just to run his data center, because his data center would take up more power. And I'm like, maybe we need to rethink that, or find somebody who isn't going to take that much. We had a data center built down at what we call the Point of the Mountain. It took over our they moved our prison out of that area. So they could put this data center in. But it belongs to the NSA. It's a government data center. And this guy wants to bring in an AI data center. And I tell you, he goes on social media and he's like, well, I don't think any of these protesters are really from Utah. I don't even think they're from Box Elder. They're Box Elder County. They're probably from, you know, out of state. And Caroline Gleick, who had run for Senate recently, was like, she's like pairing the video next to her. And she's like, I'm from Utah. My husband's family has been in Utah for generations. We're openly against your data center, pal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like anybody who was there protesting is going to be from Utah. You don't have out-of-staters coming in. And she said this is exactly what they do. Anytime they feel like they're being threatened, they try to discredit it by saying, oh, clearly it's paid actors or people from out-of-state, out-of-state mm-hmm. protesters. It's not.
It's where they go to.
We all give a shit about not getting enough water. Our governor is asking us to pray for rain and then taking all the water away to give it to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, you covered that. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah. It's had me pissed off for a week, so.
Sure. For Nado Realty Trust Chairman Stephen Roth was on an investor call this week when he said, and I quote, that people saying tax the rich is just as hateful as some disgusting racial slur.
Oh, boo. I didn't know you couldn't help being wealthy.
Oopsie daisy, born rich, you poor fucking thing.
You poor child. I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to tax your ass at 100% if we can.
Yep.
Yes.
So New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani, love that little guy. Probably as happy as I am pleased to report that Arsenal won their game, giving them 3 points in the last minute, like the very last minute. And I'm very excited, even though I only got to watch 20 minutes on it in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Some would call that a fun game. Others would call that a nail biter. And I would just call it stress the whole fucking game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's they had a match, Bayern Munich versus PNG in the Champions League that went 5-4. It was the most fun I've had watching football, you know, in months, because
yeah,
my beloved team keeps doing these 1-0 squeakers. It's just like, and like you said, it's just, I spend 90 minutes just fucking nail biting. Like, could somebody just kick it in the fucking net? Jesus Christ. And then
there's nothing more anxiety inducing than watching sports when you care.
Yeah, it's nuts. I just did a Substack about being new to football and being emotionally invested in it and how fucking weird it is. Because before this, I'd watch water polo during the Olympics. I'd watch curling during the Olympics, you know, and then whatever Olympics was on, you know. I don't care for figure skating, but if Tiffany's watching it, I'm like, cool, Olympics. That's how I sport.
I have never in my life slid down a mountain on a board or two sticks, right?
No.
And yet I find myself every Winter Olympics watching snowboarding and skiing. All the time.
Yeah. It's just,
and I'm,
it's
and yet I, it's not a sport I've ever participated in. It's not one I've ever wanted to participate in, but I find it fun to watch and I get a kick out of it. So yeah, it's like,
I'll tell you,
I love
what.
Watching the Olympics, but yeah, I remember getting deep into American football and just being, you know, so angry when my team wasn't doing well.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yep. It is frustrating. So let's see the quote from this little rich son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Is I must say, that's how he starts it.
Hello. Jesus Christ.
I really must say that I consider the phrase tax the rich, quote, tax the rich, when spit out with anger and contempt by politicians both here and across the country, to be just as hateful as some disgusting racial slurs and even the phrase from the river to the sea.
Are you being made to feel less than because you're wealthy?
Well, that's the thing,
is from the river to the sea ends, Palestine will be free. So not only is he saying tax the rich is like the N-word, he's saying stop saying Palestine should be free.
Right.
Gross. What a dick. I want to tax him even more.
I want to tax him at 200% at this point. Yeah.
You know what? Done. As soon as I'm president.
Let's do one of Trump's 5,000%. You know?
There you go. All right, gang. We are going to take a break. When we get back on the other side, it's Deep Dives.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
I don't know if you guys caught the commercial or not, but we started up a podcast academy over at school. If you'd like more information on it, pop over to theleftshow.com. It's there on the top right. Not only that, I'm offering private coaching. If you'd like to know more about that, hit me up on the Facebook is usually the easiest way to hit me. But just did my first private coaching session over the weekend. And it was
fantastic.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So is, you know, the way I look at it is I've been doing content, either radio or podcasts, for 20 years now. I'm not bad at it. So it's time for me to share my knowledge with others as opposed to keeping it all to myself.
When only a few were.
Yeah.
And now we've been here a long time. We can help you get started. I don't know. We still don't know how to help you get sponsors. If you get sponsors, tell us how to do it. But definitely.
Oh, I figured that out. Did I not tell you how to figure that out?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, don't be involved in a family of shows with it is headlined by a political podcast.
Oh, that would help a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that the left show, look, when I pitch it, when I fundraise for us, we're independent media. We are not sponsor funded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and were we to have sponsors, they would be, you know, very, the due diligence would be very thick before we said yes, you know,
yes.
But you know, the truth is it's hard. It is hard to get people to jump on board that want to spend money advertising on a political podcast, especially local folks that, that know that the wind blows a different direction than we do,
mm-hmm.
you know? But we just believe you should be able to blow anybody you want to.
The iPad podcast is just two white ladies doing the same thing we do and have been doing for 16 years. And they've got sponsors and all that shit. So it's all been political. Now, mind you, I don't think they started out political. I think they got political once Trump was in office. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know their history, but I have listened to the podcast a few times thanks to you, and I find them entertaining.
Now they're like 100% anti-MAGA, which is awesome, but yeah.
It's delightful. It really is. All right, time to do deep dives. It's time for the Left Show's Deep Dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look at important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks.
So the UK had itself a little election last week. Had three elections, actually, and that's where it can get confusing because there were three separate elections going on at the same time. In England, they were having local elections, so electing their city councillors or their regional councillors, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they got their they being the Labour Party. Now they have two major parties. They had two major parties. They had the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, and pretty much they line up almost to Democrat Republican, or at least Conservative Liberal.
Sure.
Over the last few decades, they added a Green Party that doesn't sit with Labour. They're their own separate group. Mm-hmm. They have their own agenda. They wound up with the Lib Dems or the Liberal Democrats, which are basically right down the middle moderates. And I'm like, you guys have the wrong fucking name for being right down the middle moderates.
They do here too.
Yeah, it is what it is. And then recently a monster of a human being named Nigel Farage, who literally looks like he could unhinge his jaw and eat a rabbit hole. He has created what they call the Reform Party. They're MAGA.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Now, in this council election, the last time they had a council election, the Reform Party got two seats in different councils. And in both of those, they wound up raising taxes in those councils because they couldn't figure out any other way to make things work. And that was pissing people off. But these two councils barely got talked about except during the election, which people were blowing off as just them. Must have been blowing it off because people were literally hate voting in these guys into all these different council elections. They gained 1,400 council seats.
Jesus.
Across England. 1,400. Labour got its ass handed to it because they had won the election a couple of years before.
Yeah.
In fact, it was funny because they were the opposition party to the Conservatives, and Sir Keir Starmer, who was running the Labour Party.
Yeah.
He basically challenged the then Minister of Parliament, the Prime Minister to an election. He says, "If you had the election now," he says, "you want an election now? Yeah, we'll have one right now." And they put out a general national election, and the Conservatives got wiped off the map. Labour took over, and just like any reaction we've seen here, all of this sounds very familiar to me, by the way.
Doesn't
it? Because all of a sudden, Reform is popping up saying, we can't have all of these immigrants coming into our country. We need to do these things. And it's like all these different things. And I'm like, you sound just like fucking MAGA right now. And that's exactly where we were. What, in 2014, right?
Yeah. Well,
two other elections were going on. You had Scotland doing a parliamentary election for the Scottish Parliament, and you had Wales doing an election for the Welsh Senate, which is basically the Welsh Parliament. Scotland managed to maintain the Scottish National Party managed to maintain its majority, although they didn't get the 65% that would let them just control the government.
Yeah.
Otherwise, tomorrow they'd probably be having a referendum vote on whether or not to leave the UK, especially now that apparently the Nazis are taking over England. So, I mean, these are just council seats that they've taken in England, but it's a telling sign that Labour is completely lost because the citizens are saying, you are ineffectual. You are not answering our questions. You are not solving the problems that we have. And I'm like, God damn, doesn't that sound familiar for what's going on in this country? Because anytime you bring up the Democrats, they're like, well, the Democrats aren't doing anything either. And how many different elections have we had? We actually saw something recently that said we need to push people out. We saw this, I think, I don't know if we have this in the in the roundup for stories, but it was recently said that the Democratic senators and congressmen are getting the current seated ones are getting pushed out by progressives more and more. And it's like, you can't have moderates any longer. We want progressives. And absolutely we do. I mean, look how well Bernie Sanders did when he ran for president. He didn't run as some moderate Democrat. He ran as a game changer. And people responded to it and they wanted it. And so the people in England are like, Labor's not doing shit for us, including helping labor in any way. And the thing is they had been helping labor, but it's what I've been saying since Trump won re-election. If you want to take this back, Democrats, you have to show your work to the people. You have to have it. You have to have evidence. You have to show it off. And you can't sit there and lecture on and on and on and be pedantic. You need to just basically say, we've raised minimum wage. We've done this for you. We've increased labor unions. All these things that we would like to see happen in this country. And until you show your work, people aren't going to trust you. That's what I'm seeing from England, is labor was supposed to be the one they could trust over the conservatives, and it's not. And there's been a lot of conservatives flipping over to reform, which also sounds fucking familiar. Right, Mike Lee? Suddenly becoming MAGA?
Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. So anyway, Scotland held on to its position. They do a funny election. So everybody votes for a minister of parliament, but then they also do a general vote per region, and then they'll add in more ministers it's almost like a floating position. These other ministers come in. And so reform in Scotland wound up picking up 17 seats through that secondary election. But here's the thing. If you're 18, you can vote for a minister. But if you're 16, you can vote for the general regional ministers.
Okay.
So it's a bunch of 16-year-olds putting in a Reform Party, basically. Yeah.
We're fucked.
Yeah, we're fucked.
But isn't it interesting how quickly they can turn an election?
Oh, very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very quickly turn an election. And yeah, it's funny now Scotland they're basically tied, Labour and Reform, with 17 seats each. And John Swinney, the Prime Minister for Scotland, said, oh, well, I'm going to speak with every one of the parties except for Reform. So he's like, I'm willing to negotiate, because he wants his agenda pushed forward, which is, Scotland leaving England, or leaving the UK. And he's like, but I'll speak to every one of them and work out, work out politics with them, except for Reform. I won't talk to them because he considers them Nazis.
Good for him. Outstanding.
The Welsh Synod, what did they get? They got, so Plaid Cymru, which is their national party, which also wants to pull Wales away from the UK. They grabbed 43 seats, which is they needed 49 for majority, so they just missed the majority. Reform, though, wound up getting 34 seats in Wales, and Labour got its ass handed to it. Wales used to be a major Labour stronghold.
Yep.
Because of all the miners and labourers there. Labour was pushing their unions, and they're saying, we don't trust you to do the job for us. We'd rather have the Nazis do the job for us. If this isn't if American politicians don't pay attention to what's happening across the pond with our very special friend across the pond, you're not catching on to how people are going to respond to you in the coming election. And we could wind up with even more MAGA in Congress and in the Senate.
Yep. That is true.
And that is my soapbox.
I'm going to talk about gerrymandering for a minute. First article, next section, we're going to talk about the shit that happened in Tennessee. But the deep dives go here. The danger of modern political gerrymandering is that it doesn't just resemble Jim Crow behavior and symbolism. It now mirrors it in function. The original Jim Crow system in the American South was never only about segregated water fountains and racist bathrooms. Its real purpose was political control. After Reconstruction, Southern lawmakers realized that if black Americans and poor white voters gained real political power, that they could fundamentally reshape state governments. So, racist officials created systems designed to weaken votes without always openly banning voting outright. Poll taxes, literacy tests, intimidation, and racial districting all became tools to dilute representation while maintaining the appearance of democracy. Now, modern gerrymandering works in a disturbingly similar way. Instead of outright denying someone the vote, mapmakers manipulate district boundaries so certain communities lose meaningful political influence. The two major tactics are called packing and cracking. Packing concentrates minority or opposition voters into a small number of districts so their influence is isolated, and cracking splits the communities into several districts so they never form a majority anywhere, and the result is the same outcome that Jim Crow architects wanted more than a century ago. People technically have the right to vote, but not the power to shape government. Now, what makes this especially dangerous today is that modern technology has turned gerrymandering into a precision weapon. Politicians now use massive amounts of demographic data, voting histories, consumer behaviors, even predictive modeling to engineer districts with scientific accuracy. Instead of communities choosing representatives, representatives are choosing their voters. This is happening everywhere, but oh my God, it's like Utah invented it. So what it does is it weakens one of the core principles of democracy, which is accountability. In heavily gerrymandered districts, politicians don't have to fear losing general elections, so they become more and more extreme, less responsive, more interested in ideological purity than compromise or governance. This is starting to sound a lot like yours.
Yeah.
There's also a racial dimension that echoes Jim Crow directly. Because race and voting patterns in America are still heavily connected due to historical inequality and party alignment, partisan gerrymandering often produces racial consequences, even when lawmakers claim purely political motives, which I think we know by this time is bullshit. So courts and scholars repeatedly shown that splitting black and Latino communities can weaken minority representation while still giving officials plausible deniability. In recent years, several controversial maps in states like Louisiana, Tennessee, Alabama, Utah, Mississippi have reignited accusations that the racial... I threw Utah in there for fun. That racial vote dilution is returning under the cover of partisan strategy. Now, the Supreme Court's 2019 decision in Rousseau versus Common Cause made the situation even more fucked up because the court ruled that federal courts can't intervene in cases of partisan gerrymandering. Critics argue that this effectively permitted state legislatures to draw aggressively partisan maps with little to no federal oversight, and at the same time, other rulings have weakened portions of the Voting Rights Act that historically protected minority voting power. Civil rights advocates are warning that these decisions collectively create conditions where discriminatory political maps can survive longer and become more and more extreme. So the broader danger is democratic backsliding. Democracies rarely collapse overnight through coups or tanks in the streets. More often, they erode slowly when institutions stop reflecting the will of the voters. Gerrymandering creates legislatures that may not accurately represent the population, allowing parties to maintain power even when they lose statewide popular votes. That doesn't happen here yet. Yet.
No.
No.
Not yet.
So, you know, to finish up, over time, it breeds cynicism, distrust, polarization, eventually public doubt that elections even matter at all. And so that's exactly why comparisons to Jim Crow resonate with so many historians and voting rights advocates. Both systems preserve power by manipulating who truly counts politically. Scene. Yes, and? So.
Yes, and. No, yeah. I mean, you're right. I hate that you're right, but you're right.
Gerrymandering's been a pet cause of mine for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we've watched it in action in this state for 25 years or longer.
Yeah.
Every 4 years they redraw the maps.
10.
I mean, basically Salt Lake was pretty much a Democratic zone, and we were able to send a Democrat, put that in air quotes, to Congress every year or every 2 years. But they basically, I remember the first gerrymandered map I really noticed and paid attention to, Salt Lake County was basically divided up like the center of a pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the cracking.
Yeah. It was full cracking. And
they weren't
hitting necessarily racial neighborhoods as much as they were bringing more of the white rural areas into just making a decision for this section of the county,
yep,
of the state. Yeah. And I'm like, let the white rural areas have their own representative in Congress. Let us have someone who represents us here in the sprawl, right? The suburb, the city and the suburbs, the surrounding
or
city.
Or as, you know, some of my friends call it, where the lesbians live.
Yes.
We have a lot of lesbians in Utah. It's incredible. I'm very proud of that. Yeah. Okay. Let's do a little news. So while going back to the A block before the deep dives, reporting on the aftermath of a contentious data center project approval in Box Elder County, a reporter was approached by a sitting Utah senator who smacked the fucking phone out of the reporter's hand.
Yeah.
Cops were called. Senator was like, you can't do that, asshole. And he's like, oh, fine. Tell her I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We're up against it. When we get back on the other side, we'll do some news roundup. Anything we didn't cover, we're pushing to Patreon. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You could find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So, Tennessee enacted new U.S. House maps by carving up a majority black district in Memphis. Protesters disrupted the legislative session in anger, which made them just, it's time for us to go home early.
Mm-hmm.
But the final Senate vote unfolded as demonstrators chanted loudly in the galleries and hallways. Democratic State Senator Charlaine Oliver stood on mm-hmm. her desk in the middle of the Senate chamber holding a banner denouncing the redistricting as a Jim Crow effort and then clapping and dancing. Other Democratic senators linked arms in front of the chamber. Republican leadership quickly adjourned the special session, sending the new map on to Republican Governor Bill Lee, who promptly and racistly signed it into law.
Yep.
Well,
it was, to see the map itself, it's so ironic because it's like all of Tennessee. Memphis is right on the bottom corner, right? The southwestern corner of Tennessee.
Yep.
And to see all of Tennessee, like every county in Tennessee, is full on red. And you had this little blue section right down in the bottom corner in Memphis that was...
Where people live.
Yeah, where the people live. And all of a sudden now it's going to be red because they've gerrymandered the fuck out of it. And I'm like... And it was all because the fucking Supreme Court, Roberts got his wish to cut down the Civil Rights Act because that was something he was trying to fight. When they redid it a few... back in the 80s, he was a clerk there... And he didn't care for it, and he agreed with his boss who didn't care for it.
Yeah.
And he looked forward to the day that a case would come forward that he could immediately end that part of the act, which is what has allowed basically Jim Crow redistricting to happen overnight in the South.
He's a racist fucking right-wing joke of a human being.
Yeah.
You know, let me double-check real quick. I think we're talking about him in Patreon, as a matter of fact. You know, but basically he popped up and he's like, everybody thinks that we're political.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you. Look what you're doing and who you're doing it for. You know,
I'm like, show me that you're not then.
Well, it's like you hear the phrase, are you on the right side of history? And to be honest, history is not going to fucking remember me, but it's going to remember him. And it is not going to remember him kindly. Now, mm-hmm. that's not justice. That's just reward. You know, that's just who you get to be. And much like Adolf Hitler, when people say, oh, you any relation to Justice Roberts? You're ruining a name for everybody.
Yep, exactly.
The last name of Roberts will be shunned throughout history, at least by me. Yeah, nuts. Fucking nuts. I mean, so openly and blatantly racist. One of the senators coming off the floor, yelling at one of the African-American lawmakers that was there that was causing a problem with it, called him boy. And nobody punched him in the mouth. And I'm like, that's some white privilege right there.
That's white privilege and a half, man.
Yeah.
No, it's not just a Southern thing. I mean, that he did that on purpose, calling him boy.
Mm-hmm.
He did it on purpose. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yep.
What do we got? What loaded? Oh, love this one. Laura Loomer lost a lawsuit against Bill Mayer. Two people who they can both just fuck right off for all I care. But she lost her case because her dad tattled. Okay, so that's bad. That's bad. I'm breaking down this headline into pieces because I think it's important to understand. She said something to her dad and her dad told other people. What she told her dad, or apparently bragged about, was how often she gave Donald Trump blowjobs. She bragged about blowing that to her dad.
Taking off a diaper and blowing that.
Yep. Oh, I hadn't even put that picture together. It was.
I
just...
mean, that's we talk about those people who give blowjobs as heroes. I mean, she went above and beyond. She should get the Congressional Medal of Honor for blowjobs. She should get the Nancy Reagan Award for.
You waited until I was drinking. That wasn't fair. Yep, the throat goat of the year. That sounds like something.
The Nancy Reagan Throat Goat Award goes to Laura Loomer for taking care of Trump.
Just don't say no. Anyway, September 2024, Bill Maher did a bit on Real Time, riffing on the extremely public fact that Loomer had just spent the better part of a week on Donald Trump's private jet to a debate to the 9/11 memorial all over the place. And Bill Maher said basically, who's Trump fucking? He asked rhetorically. He's been a good dog for too long, and it's not Melania. I think we'll have our answer this week. I think it might be Laura Loomer.
Mm-hmm.
So she tried to sue him for $150 million. You got a lot of moxie thinking that's your reputation there, kid.
Yep.
But a federal judge in Florida, a Bill Clinton appointee...
Think he'd be more friendly about women giving blowjobs.
Anyway. Granted summary judgment to Maher and HBO before the case could even reach a jury. Not you might lose, not this is shaky. Summary judgment, in which lawyer speak means there's no universe where you win this. Please stop. Ugh. I don't know who I feel more sorry for, Trump or Loomer. I haven't really watched the Saw movies, but I've seen
Trump
a little
got everything
dude with the
out
mask.
Of it that he wanted is this relationship with her. I mean, she's a fucking nut job as it is.
Yep.
And he got everything he wanted out of it. So I guess, you know, it's I feel bad for her for one thing.
Oh. I'm sorry. I got one of those jokes where it's like, I'm checking. Are we in Patreon? No. Damn it. Oh fuck! That one almost choked me. Not letting that one out. No pun intended.
I do like this thing. Every member of Laura Loomer's 2020 campaign staff approached me ahead of publication, declined to comment. Each one of them gave the same reason: fear of public reprisals. Laura Loomer did not return a request for comment. A tearful Jeff Loomer, that's Dad, declined to say over the phone whether he was currently considering another involuntary psychiatric hold for his daughter. Given her bizarre claim this week that she has been performing oral sex on President Trump, but did not rule it out. So he's basically, he wants to commit her because he's like, you're a fucking lunatic for blowing that guy.
Ugh. I'm just saying, you look down to your lap and there's the dude from Saw.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to creep you out a little bit, I would think.
A little bit.
Yeah. But
those crazy eyes staring back up at you. I don't know.
Yeah. Then again, you know, Trump blew Bill.
Mm-hmm.
We got that out in the news. I'm just asking questions. Trump blew Bill? Question mark. Trump blew Bill? Question mark. Trump blew Bill? Question mark.
Which Bill? Which Bill? That's the Bill. That's the question.
Right now, I'm imagining how that's going to look on the court stenographer's paper. Trump blew Bill? Question mark. I don't think it's going to read back with all of the zzz that I'm putting on it right now.
That's right.
What else do we have? Jenna Ellis. Jenna Ellis says religious freedom only applies to Christians. Sarcastic gasp. During Friday's episode of Jenna Ellis in the Morning radio program, former Trump campaign attorney Jenna Ellis declared that only Christians are entitled to religious freedom in the United States. In 2020, Ellis
Does that really make it religious freedom? I mean, I guess your freedom is you don't have to agree with this flavor of Christianity.
What does
that even fucking mean? I mean, if it's only Christians that have religious freedom, then there isn't religious freedom. right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, obviously.
We got 10 minutes of show left, and you keep jumping to the end.
Oh. Running out of headlines.
I got nothing left. I do, though. I've got DeSantis signed his partisan gerrymander map into law, immediately sued. Florida's new congressional map was designed to give Republicans four more seats coming out of the state, 24 of the 28 total instead of just 20. But yeah, he got sued. Let's see, by Democratic lawyer Mark Elias's firm wrote in its complaint that the Leon County Circuit Court, home to Florida's capital Tallahassee, to strike down the map is unconstitutional and prevent its use in the upcoming midterm elections. Ugh. It's just gross. They're just gross. Well,
didn't the Georgia governor basically, or no, it was the Louisiana governor, just suspended elections, the primaries?
Yeah, Louisiana.
Yeah, so that they could gerrymander the map after the Supreme Court decision. And I'm like, oh, you didn't have a trigger map ready to go based on the Supreme? You knew that was coming. You didn't have your trigger map ready to go?
Yeah. So, yeah, last article of the day before we vamp and fill.
Sorry.
You're fine. You're fine.
I mean, I'm used to making things move along.
Yeah. Chief Justice Roberts, he feels bad that the public perception of the Supreme Court is that they're political actors.
I think they view us as purely political actors, which I don't think is an accurate understanding of what we do,
Roberts said in his manliest fashion. Yeah, he expressed concern on Wednesday that the public perception of the Supreme Court is an institution driven primarily by political outcomes rather than the law. Well, it hurt his feelings. He's been leading the court since 2005. He appeared to acknowledge dimming public approval of the court, shown in opinion polls over the last few years, as its conservative majority continues to push American law dramatically rightward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, dickhead, guess what?
I want to say yes to both, Judge Roberts, because I do know what the Supreme Court does. And you and your ilk in the conservative part of the court are purely political actors.
Yeah.
I don't see anything different. Normally, the Supreme Court, whether they're conservative or liberal, are supposed to look at the case that's been brought before them and determine will the ruling on this violate the U.S. Constitution in any way? And they can make that ruling. And it's supposed to be nonpartisan. It's supposed to be completely unbiased. And yes, there will be bias if you're conservative compared to liberal, and that's why you have so many judges and they make that decision. And we've had better rulings in the past. Within my lifetime, we've had better courts than the Roberts Court.
Yeah.
We've had some shittier ones in my lifetime too. And I'm just glad he died before I was really able to understand any of that shit. But yeah, we've had some bad courts, we've had some good courts, but
Bad one we have right now.
This is bad, and we do see political action being taken. I mean, for them to determine that a woman's right to choose because it's not in the Constitution should be stripped away. And we're just going to leave it up to the states, which turned into a fucking bloody massacre for women.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yeah, I think the punting back to the state argument is absolutely weak sauce. I mean, even Ben McAdams did it with minimum wage, and the minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. So great job, Congressman. Way to go, buddy. Maybe you should find a Republican to say it for you next time.
Yep, just open your ass a little wider so he can get his hand further up to say it in your voice.
Yeah.
No, it's like, yeah, you want to, Yes, the 10th Amendment says if it's not written here, we're sending it back to the state. But, you know, they made a decision in the 70s, and it wasn't a liberal court back then, any more so than it was, you know, a conservative court in the 70s. And they made that decision in Roe v. Wade. They made the decision, you know, and the decision made about the Voting Rights Act, that's settled law as far as anybody was concerned in this country since 1965. And he was just sitting there rubbing his hands together, waiting for someone to bring this into his court when he had a conservative majority so he could run it out.
Well, you have to be racist to run it. And racism used to be wrong. And now, thanks to Trump and all of the shit that these Supreme Court dipshits have done for him, racism's super popular right now, and he can have what he wants. But he can't tell me that he's not a political actor because he fucking stage managed this to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he got, what's his name? The black judge. I can't remember his name now.
Thomas?
Clarence Thomas? Yeah, that he got Clarence Thomas to vote against, you know, to take away this ruling or this law. I'm like,
oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Who you are, Clarence Thomas? I don't think he does. I think he's been hanging out with that Nazi fanboy for so long that he's, you know, doing all of his RVing with that guy that he's just going to.
He's going to vote this way. Yeah, it was a meme that a lady I follow on Threads put out where she's like, we shouldn't use the phrase Uncle Tom anymore. We should just use Uncle Clarence.
Uncle Clarence.
Yeah.
I mean, Uncle Tom still works if you consider Tom as short for Thomas. So
that's fair. But yeah, he's pretty libertarian in my view, in that he's got his and he doesn't care that nobody else can have theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, greed overcomes. It's universal.
Yep,
it is. Okay. Whew. All right. Big deep breath, everybody. That was kind of a shitty way to end your week. I apologize. And now, on top of that, I got to try and talk you into visiting us over at Patreon. You know Patreon. Patreon.com/defendmedia. That's where every week that we record, we pop over there and do some special content. You may have heard my brain almost shit itself about 5 minutes ago when I almost Patreoned on the regular show. That was painful. That was like mental whiplash.
That's what I get
whiplash.
For bringing up Nancy Reagan in a blowjob story.
I know. That's like old show stuff right there. Anyway, patreon.com/defenmedia. I'd also like to remind you that we are now on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. You can find the links over at theleftshow.com. We're putting out the good stuff. As much as I can in the time I have allotted. I'm working on it, folks. You got to build processes. Anyway, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you doing this today.
You're welcome, America.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Let's all do what the British lady says, because I can't come up with a better one, so we're just going to go out on this again for a little while.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.